From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Teachers in the Natomas Unified School District voted to move forward with a proposed strike this week as the district continues to grapple with budget issues. If it happens, it would be the first time Natomas teachers have gone on strike in district history. Meanwhile, teachers in San Francisco remain on strike for a fourth day. That is their first strike in nearly 50 years. A similar situation is brewing at Sac City Unified as the school district risks a state takeover and faces a structural budget deficit in the tens of millions of dollars. Amid this crisis, Superintendent Lisa Allen abruptly quit at last week's school board meeting. An interim has since been announced, but deep-rooted problems and potential cuts remain. Cap Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer and student assistant Ruth Finch were at that meeting last week. Riley joins us now to explain what happened and what to expect at the next board meeting, which is happening tonight. Hey, Riley.
Hi, Vicky.
Okay, so walk us through Sac City Unified's budget crisis.
Yeah, of course. It's no secret that the district has been struggling with a financial crisis, and that has come into public eye pretty aggressively over the last year. The district is currently facing a $113 million deficit. And there's lots of different numbers floating around, but the district has said most recently that this number is the most concrete and represents the overall picture of what's happening. Because of this, they've been at risk of financial insolvency, which would put them under state receivership. And a state receivership is really, really bad news. It would basically give the state control of the district's finances for at least a decade. But that's looking less likely. There have been many reasons being pointed to as to the financial crises. These include outside contracts for services to help the district, as well as an overabundance of administrative positions that need to be cut. There's also the aspect of declining enrollment, which is driving school districts across the country to suffer, not just Sac Unified. So overall, things have been pretty dark in the district.
Okay, so what cuts is the district considering?
One of the main things going forward is to right-size the amount of administrators. The teachers' union has stated publicly that the number of administrators that work in the Cerna Center, which is like the district's administrative building, has ballooned, especially over COVID, due to the amount of one-time funds that schools were getting from the government during that period of time. The number of how many extra positions there are is up for debate, but some say there are around 70 positions that'll need to get cut. And because of how messy this has all become, the board has been meeting weekly to provide updates on where things are financially, as opposed to a couple times a month, which is the standard generally for school board meetings. And in the midst of all this, their superintendent, Lisa Allen, resigned last week.
All right. So let's focus on that for just a moment. Tell us a little bit more about Superintendent Allen's background. What reason did she give about stepping down as superintendent, especially during such a crucial time for the district?
Sure. Well, Superintendent Allen's announcement was unexpected. She had been with the district for 30 years, starting as a teacher, but had been in her role as superintendent since 2023. She gave an official statement at last week's board meeting and mainly thanked the district and parents and teachers for their time. She didn't specifically name the budget crisis, but she did say this.
For decades, I've had the privilege of working alongside professionals who show up every day with dedication and compassion. When I first came to Sac City, I could not have imagined the journey ahead. Together, we have faced challenges, celebrated achievements, embraced change, and remained steadfast in our commitment to one central purpose, doing what is best for students.
Okay, so she is a longtime Sac City Unified employee. The final, short time towards the end where she stepped down, she was superintendent, but she has a long tenure with the district. So were people surprised when she announced that she was stepping down? How did the school board react to this news?
Yeah, I mean, I was there in the room and it was an intense moment. Allen's departure was announced earlier in the day. So there were some murmurs of, if she was going to be at the board meeting, what she was going to say. But after she spoke, Allen received a standing ovation from the crowd. The board and Allen said that this was a mutual decision. And I think people in the audience, which were largely union members having to do with the district, were surprised. But this seems like a conversation that had been going on behind the scenes. And I say that because after the announcement, the school board president, Tara Jean, paused the meeting and took reporter questions. I asked her if she saw this coming, and this is what she had to say.
It's one of those deep conversations you have for a long time, and we didn't make any decisions lightly. We had a lot of deep conversations and soul searching to really figure out what was best for each person involved and what the district needed to move us forward.
Okay, so at the heart of this whirlwind of a crisis that the district is facing, I mean, big changes in leadership, of course, but also a budget crisis. I mean, at the heart of this, of course, are students. Were you able to talk to any students? What do they think about the superintendent announcing her retirement?
I did, yeah. I got to chat with a student named Owen Nagiva. He's a high school student at West Campus High and happens to be their class of 2027 class president. We caught up in the hallway later in the meeting, and he said that she had a really positive rapport with students.
I'm not sure the exact reasons behind Superintendent Allen deciding to resign, but if she felt that she wasn't, like, the leader that we need in this moment, that's a brave move on her part so that we can find someone who can take us out of this deficit. And I applaud her for that. You know, Superintendent Allen is always someone that you can come and you can share a casual chat with. And she doesn't care about class or, you know, how high up she is at the district.
Okay. I mean, as you mentioned one union in the district, the teachers union. There are a handful of collective bargaining groups within Sac City Unified, but the teachers union is the largest. So where does the SCTA stand on Allen's departure?
I got the sense at the meeting that Allen was well-liked by the district, obviously by the student I spoke with, and teachers. Nikki Malevsky, who is the president of the Sacramento City Teachers Association, said that Allen was the right superintendent for the time and pushed them through transition. She specifically said that she could always tell her union members and look them in the eyes and say that the superintendent cares about the kids in the district the way that she does. And she also noted that the union did not have the same faith in the previous superintendent, Jose Aguilar.
Okay. I mean, the school board is steering this ship and trying to write this fiscal course. Does the teachers union have confidence in the school board?
They do. But I do think it's important to note that every Sac City school board member has been endorsed by SCTA. So the union has been less concerned about the board. Malevsky did say something interesting to me. The SCTA's position is more focused on the district staff not being totally transparent with the board on where things stand financially. But after last week's meeting, she seemed hopeful when I caught up with her.
The problem has not been the board. It's been, you know, district staff not addressing the concerns and giving updates to the school board. I think we finally got that in motion, and I think that's going to be a really good future for us, that we continue to get these updates to the board, we continue to have discussions about what needs to be cut. I know there is a lot of cuts that can happen in outside contracts and in the great number of administrators that reside in this building. Mm-hmm.
Budget issues at school districts are happening across California. It's just not isolated to Sac City Unified. In some cases, as I led with off the top, teachers have authorized a strike. Other teachers are actually on strike in San Francisco. So is this something that Sac City Unified teachers are considering?
You know, I can't necessarily say that it's something the teachers are thinking because it is yet to come up in the conversations I've had. Every Sacramento Unified school board member is backed by the teachers union, as we discussed. So I think the teachers and the board are pretty aligned on most things. And the board has made it clear that they're trying to keep cuts as far away from the classroom as possible.
So an interim superintendent was also announced last week. What can you tell us about her?
Right. So her name is Concy McCarn, and she has a similar journey to Allen's, actually. She, too, has been with the district for around 3 decades and was promoted from her role as chief human resource officer to interim superintendent at the same meeting. Here's a bit of her talking about her experience that evening.
Over the years, I've had the privilege of growing alongside this district, serving as a support provider, as a BITSA coordinator, human resources director, and in this current role, most recently as the chief of HR and lead negotiator. Each role has shaped my understanding of the system, our people, and our purpose. Because of this journey, I know this district not only from policy and practice, but from lived experience.
All right, so what kind of support does she have?
The board said that they are looking for someone permanent to help them weather the storm ahead, but they also have expressed support for McCarn and think that she's the right person to step up right now. McCarn has also started as a teacher with the district, and the SCTA president, Nikki Malevsky, told me she worked alongside McCarn decades ago, when McCarn was a kindergarten teacher and Malevsky was a school psychologist. Malevsky said that McCarn has dedicated her life to the district and has faith in her.
Okay. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with local government reporter Riley Palmer. So what other issues arose during last week's school board meeting?
Right. So as you mentioned, the district is made up of a handful of unions. And outside of all the leadership shakeups, members of other unions came to protest some of the changes the board was considering making. The week prior, the board proposed furlough days for some positions and also wanted to mandate that administrators with teaching credentials move back into the classroom. A union called UPE, which stands for United Professional Educators, came out in major force to speak out against the furlough days and speak for administrators who don't have union representation. UPE president and Hiram Johnson High School principal Garrett Kirkland initially told me before the meeting that he was really disappointed in the board's decision. But at the end of the meeting, the board walked back both of those proposals. The board said that the proposed furlough, which was around 12 days, didn't actually make that big of a difference spending-wise for the district, and legally they couldn't force administrators back into the classroom just because of their teaching credentials. I caught up with Kirkland after.
First and foremost, putting administrators back in the classroom without bargaining is unacceptable to us in violation of contract. We're happy that the board realized that and changed course. People make mistakes, and they fixed it before it really caused too many problems. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in that room and in this district that have been under a lot of angst over what they've been proposing over the last week or two. And so to see them rectifying that is great, but still a lot of harm was done in these last 2 weeks while they were talking about this.
So are there still concerns about a potential state receivership happening this year, a state takeover?
Well, the slight piece of good news is that a state takeover is not as likely as they previously thought. After doing more digging into the finances, the district found that they're in a better position for this current fiscal year.
Okay, so how is that possible? Weren't they in the hole tens of millions of dollars? How did it end up becoming, like, relatively stable?
Okay, so it's confusing. There are a lot of numbers being thrown around, which can be dramatically different. And it's important to note that, you know, they are a snapshot in time. The district is doing those meetings weekly, and at the latest meeting, the board said it reevaluated their revenues and have more for this current fiscal year than they originally projected. But that's not to say that they are out of the woods. They're still knee-deep in that $113 million deficit, and the upcoming budget years are not looking good.
Okay, and there's another board meeting scheduled tonight, so what's expected to happen there?
Yeah, so on the agenda, there's no mention of, like, any updates to the fiscal solvency plan, but there's a lot in flux right now, and tonight they're scheduled to talk about layoffs for the next school year, which include both standard layoffs and admin layoffs they are pointing to in the fiscal solvency plan. I spoke with a board member this morning, and he said that the list of positions and how many will be revealed tonight, but the report points to certified and classified employee positions as well as preschool employees.
All right, Riley, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Riley Palmer is CAP Radio's local government reporter. You can find more of her reporting at our website, capradio.org. Up next, wolves have been slowly repopulating California over a decade, but their return is leading to more interactions with ranchers and attacks on cattle. We'll learn more about this conflict playing out in the North State. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.